I am.
Okay, I'll call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order. And let the record reflect that the time is currently 9:07 a.m. on March 26, 2026. And present, we've got Representative Allard, Representative Stapp, Representative Bynum, Representative Kutcher Shiragi, Representative Kutcher Josephson, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Hannon, myself, Co-Chair Foster. And just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. And we have one bill before us today, and that is Senate Bill 146. It is the REAA Fund / Mount Edgecombe and Teacher Housing Bill. And this is our first hearing. We'll get an introduction from Representative Freer. Review the fiscal note, and then we'll set the bill aside. We also have with us Representative Jimmy. And Representative Moore is also here. And so with that, I'd like to invite up Representative Freer and I believe your staff, Mr. Calvin Zulo, to please come to the table. And if you can put yourselves on the record and give us a... introduction to the bill.
La Lota, good morning. Chair Foster, co-chairs Josephson, Shiragi, and members of House Finance. For the record, my name is Representative Robin Nayok Freer. I represent House District 40, which includes 19 communities in the North Slope and Northwest Arctic. The co-chairs of Senate Finance Committee who sponsored Senate Bill 146 offered to let me present the bill to you this morning. It might be a little bit of deja vu as we've heard this before. I carried House Bill 174 through this committee last session, which is the identical companion legislation to the bill before you. To refresh the committee and the public, Senate Bill 146 amends REAA fund language to include both major maintenance and construction at Mount Edgecombe High School and major maintenance for teacher housing in regional education attendance areas as allowable uses for this fund. It also removes the $70 million cap on the fund value. In current law, any fund balance above this amount lapses into the general fund at the end of the fiscal year. Mount Edgecombe High School is a public boarding school operated by the Department of Education Early Development. It serves normally over 400 students from more than 100 communities statewide. MEHS is not included in school major maintenance and construction lists. Instead, they're part of a statewide department maintenance list. They rely on the Department of Education to put forward maintenance requests, unlike how schools in the rest of the states are allowed to advocate for themselves and apply to be on the major maintenance grant list. Rural school districts have been challenged in attracting and retaining educators through successful collaboration with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and the Denali Commission. Rural governments were able to affordably build rental housing, but are left without assistance for maintenance costs. Senate Bill 146 would allow eligible rural school districts to apply for major maintenance grant funding for repairs to teacher housing from the REAA fund. On a personal note, as you all know, I am a graduate from Mount Edgecombe. I've got a son who is attending Mount Edgecombe now. My mom attended. My AKA graduated from there. My APA graduated from there. So the school is very near and dear to my heart, as well as the heart of many other rural Alaskans. there will be a committee substitute for Senate Bill 146 that my office developed in consultation with the bill sponsor and the governor's legislative office. The CS would remove the addition of major maintenance for teacher housing as an allowable use of the REAA fund. I still believe that maintaining rural teacher housing is important and necessary for addressing Alaska's shortage of teachers equitably. And I still believe that the state of Alaska should have a role in that maintenance, but I hope that removing this language from Senate Bill 146 is taken as a good show of faith to the governor, that we can avoid another veto of this bill. So with that, I stand ready to answer any questions from members.
Great. Maybe before we do that, we just have one fiscal note. And so I'm going to maybe jump into that. And Ms. Heather Heineken should be in the room. And I believe, no, okay, online. Ms. Heineken, looks like you're with the Direct Division. School Finance and Facilities, if you could put yourself on the record. Looks like maybe you're calling in from Fairbanks.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Co-Chairs Foster, Josephson, and Shragi, and the House Finance Committee. My name is Heather Heineken, and I am the Director of Finance and Support Services for the Department of Education. The fiscal note that I am presenting is based on last year's numbers. We are working on a updated fiscal note, and then there will be the need for another one with the once a committee substitute comes forward. This fiscal note is for school finance and facilities, OMB component number 2737. And currently, this fiscal note creates two positions within the facility section of finance and support services. The first being a school finance specialist 2 at a range 18 for $123,500. A building management specialist at a range 19 for $130,600. In addition to the staff required, travel for on-site inspection would be needed for each position with an estimated 2 trips, each costing $2,000 for a total of $8,000 in travel. And then a one-time cost to provide equipment and supplies for the new staff of $5,000 each or $10,000 total. The annual department chargeback, again, prior year rate was $17,600 per position for a total of $35,200. And a one-time increment of $6,000 for legal services associated with revising and establishing new regulations. So the total cost for would have been FY26 would be $313,300, and the out years of 27 through 31 would be $297,300. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Let's see, Ms. Heineken, if you could read us your control code and the date on your fiscal note.
The date that I have is, I apologize, let me get that one up in front of me, is dated March 29th, 25. That's what I saw loaded in the documents.
Okay, and your control code is on the bottom right of the paper?
Sorry, let me zoom that in. SV capital Z, V capital A.
Okay. We've got a couple questions here, but we have ours is dated January 26, 2026 with a control code of GKLQT. This is certainly something I think that we can come back to maybe at our next meeting just to get them more updated. And it sounds like with the CS, things are going to change. So I think I had a couple questions here. See, I think I first saw Representative Bynum, and then I'm not sure who is in order. I think Representative Hannon, Representative Stapp, Representative Galvin, Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair of is for the fiscal note that we just went over or that was presented. This ours is obviously different, as you'd mentioned. What was the total number on the fiscal note that was being read to us? Ours is 352.
Thank you, through the chair to Representative Bynum. The total for 2026 is $3,013,300, and then the future years is $297,300.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Ms. Heineken, how many school finance specialists currently work at DEED, and how many building management specialists currently work on REA-funded projects?
Ms. Heineken?
Through the chair, to Representative Hannon, this is Heather Heineken. Currently, we have two school finance specialists, and in the section, and there is one building management specialist in the section.
Follow up. So is it anticipated that basically this is a 30% increase in the workload that that sector will experience by adding these in?
Thank you for the question, through the chair to Representative Hannon, Heather Heineken, for the record. The workload may not increase 30%. However, currently, the way the bill is written, with residential housing included, one component of it is we do not have any expertise in residential housing. So the building management specialist would need that area of expertise. And then the second position would be, right now, the way the workload is split, each of our staff are involved in the CIP application process and specifically the ranking of those. We would need someone who's not participating in the CIP application process to be able to support Mount Edgecombe in the process so that there was not a bias. It would be unfair to all the other districts if somebody internally was helping prepare the applications who was also ranking them. So it wouldn't be necessarily a 30% increase. There would be some increase, and this would be handled a little bit differently than other districts because Mount Edgecombe currently doesn't have the expertise to prepare the applications and go through the process like the other districts do.
And then one more follow-up, Coach Foster. Thank you. Ms. Heineken, do you have historical knowledge of how many people, say a decade ago, worked in this section at DEED?
Through the chair to Representative Hannon, I apologize. They do not have that information, but I'm happy to get that to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Next, I've got Representative Stapp, Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski. Did you also have a... Okay.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair to wonderful folks at DEED, and also bill sponsor, Representative Freer. Thanks for being here and staff. I'm going to kind of pick up the ball from Representative Hannon. And I'm going to say on the fiscal note regarding the building maintenance specialist, I thought I heard the sponsor basically say that they were expecting as committee substitute to remove that teacher housing portion. And by reading the fiscal note, I would expect you would no longer need the building maintenance specialist if that section is not in the bill anymore. So if that is indeed the case, should I expect the fiscal note to be reduced by this $145,000 through the chair?
Ms. Heineken?
Through the chair to Representative Stapp, that would be correct for the most part. Yes, if we're not doing residential housing, we wouldn't need the building maintenance specialist position. However, one thing to keep in mind is that for Mount Edgecombe, they have residential facilities, which we would not be able to support those, and they wouldn't be eligible for the CIP application process. It would only be the their educational facilities.
Okay, follow up, Mr. Coacher.
Follow up.
Yeah, thank you, Coacher Foster, through the chair. So shifting gears, this fund, the REA fund, do you know what the balance in the fund is? And what the purpose of a cap on the fund was through the chair? I can't remember. I think I asked this last year.
Ms. Heineken?
Through the chair to Representative Sapp, I will get the balance for you. It is pretty minimal. We do not maintain a balance in these, and so it's less than... We have three different maintenance funds, and so I apologize, but it's less than $10 million. But the cap, the purpose of the cap, I'm not familiar with it because that's been in statute since the statute was put in place. I do know it is a hindrance for larger projects. One thing to keep in mind with the REAA fund is its primary focus is on school construction and not on major maintenance. And so school construction costs obviously continue to rise. And so $70 million limits how much of a school can be built in a through this process. So,
okay. Just a quick follow-up to the sponsor, if I could, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair to Representative Freer. Again, thanks for being here. Remind me, I want to say it was something to do with bonding and needing the funds available to build the new schools, but why are we removing the cap again, if you I can't remember.
Representative Freer.
Thank you. Through the chair to Representative Stepp. I think it was just the cost of schools or, I mean, the cost to build a school or to do major maintenance is very expensive. We're nowhere near a $70 million cap and just remove the cap.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Okay. Next up, I've got Representative Galvin.
Questions were asked. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. So on my fiscal notes, I've got two in front of me, but I had my staff print up one. One was from dated 5/12/2025. The other was dated February 16th, 2026. And the control code is correct on the 5/12/2025, but the numbers are different. So I guess my question is, when will we expect new and updated fiscal notes?
I'm looking at Mr. Anderson. It looks like he wants to say something. Mr. Anderson, if you can put yourself on the record.
Good morning. Thank you. For the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Foster. The fiscal note that the committee has in front of you, dated control code GKLQT, is the proper fiscal note for this bill in its current version. It is the updated fiscal note. The fiscal note that was read across by the department this morning was the outdated fiscal note from last year. You'll notice that in the new fiscal note, the first column is FY27 appropriation requests. The total operating cost is $552,300. It's broken up into personal services for $282,700, travel $8,000, services $51,600, commodities $10,000. This will all come from the general fund. There are two full-time positions associated with that. And those two positions are for the school finance specialist 2 and a building management specialist at a range 19. Based off of the potential CS that would come out, the department has indicated that the fiscal note could change after that. But this the fiscal note in front of you with that control code, once again, GKLQT, is the most current and up-to-date fiscal note.
Mr. Anderson, is that CS due out soon?
We have it requested with legal, and they are processing it. And we can expect it. This bill is up tomorrow for public testimony, and if it's the will of the committee, it could be offered up at that time. If we have it later this afternoon, it could also come up under bills previously heard.
Okay. Representative Tomaszewski?
Yeah, follow-up. Thank you. Co-Chair Foster, so can you repeat me the total again on the fiscal note? And this fiscal note wasn't actually in my packet here today. I had it printed up, so I only had the one that's outdated. But what you said, a total for this fiscal note?
Mr. Anderson?
The total of the new fiscal note is $352,300.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, in line, I've got Representative Galvin, Josephson, and Stepp. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. And this may be a question for Ms. Heineken, if she's still on the line. So I'm trying to understand the reason that we have to state that the REAA fund is for construction and major maintenance projects at Mount Edgecombe High. My understanding is that what I heard from you just a few minutes ago was that its primary focus is for school construction, but it's not in the language. It is okay now to use this fund for major maintenance, is it not?
Ms. Heineken?
Through the chair to Representative Galvin, the Alaska Statute 1411.030 defines the Regional Education Attendance Area and Small Municipal School District School Fund. The last line in that statute is the primary function of the fund is to fund school construction projects. So it's not prohibited. It's just not the primary function of the fund.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, obviously we've built schools and we're at that time where they're all at least 40 years old. And so it certainly isn't against the law or against what we have written in statute for the fund to use it to maintain schools. And of course, Mount Edgecombe would be one of those important schools that we would take care of. Yes?
Ms. Heineken?
Through the chair to Representative Galvin, that is correct. However, currently Mount Edgecombe is not an REAA school or rural educational attendance area school. So we cannot take care of that school based on the current statute, regardless of whether it's school construction or major maintenance.
Okay, thank you. That certainly proves to me that AI is not what we should be leaning on to answer these questions. So thank you for that. And then the other, just saying, this is proof today. The other question I had was related to the legal services costs. That's not something I typically see. It seems like that is something we could absorb, so I was surprised to see that.
Ms. Heineken?
Through the chair to Representative Galvin, when there's legal regulation changes needed, we do expect $6,000 per regulation. If the only thing needed is a regulation change, we typically don't put a fiscal note forward. However, it is a part of the cost of making those changes because there is significant work and legal review involved in the process.
Okay, so it sounds like sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Thank you very much.
Next up, I have Representative Josephson and then staff. Representative Josephson.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Foster. Question for Ms. Heineken. Ms. Heineken, I'm looking at the sponsor statement, and my question relates more to those, I think, raised by Reps Hannon and Stapp. In the sponsor statement, as I understand it, the CS will effectively delete the last paragraph. So that's gone. And so we have three other paragraphs in the sponsor statement. And what the bill intends to do, and I intend to support the bill, is equalize construction and maintenance funding opportunities and expand the eligibility list. And I'm just wondering why that costs. I mean, it strikes me that one of the things the bill does is the moment it passes, if it's signed, it's already a victory. It's you're in victory land because you get to be treated like other REAAs. You don't rely on DOTPUF's list. You're on the eligibility list and you're ready to compete. And so why does that cost $352,000? And if the answer is the whole section or division needs more money to operate, so we had a similar debate on the appointment of a new Superior Court judge, where the court said, give us a judge. That's all we want. Give us a judge, pay for the judge and the judge's staff. And public safety agencies, lawyers said, well, we need money now too. Is it sort of like that, where this is being used by the administration to bolster other administrative funds within, I guess, Deeds Division? I mean, if it is, I would be more amenable to it if the department just said so and said, you know, it turns out we actually need some extra money.
Ms. Heineken?
To co-chair Josephine, Heather Heineken for the record. Currently, the way the language is written, one position specifically it would be needed because we do not have the expertise in the department to support that function. If that's eliminated, that position could be removed from the fiscal note, and it sounds like that's what's coming forward with the committee substitute. For the other position, currently, our section has a small staff, And every staff member is involved in our CIP ranking process. We evaluate each application that comes in from the 52 school districts that we get them. So to have those, because the currently it's the department that's responsible to support Mount Edgecombe for capital improvement projects. They don't have the staff or the expertise to prepare the applications and go through the process. We would need someone who's not involved in the CIP application ranking to help prepare those applications. An alternative would be to hire, like other districts do, hire CERC or some other professional to help with that process. However, either way, there's going to be an associated cost with that.
No follow-up.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Josephson. And next up, we have Representative Stepp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Through the chair to the director, Ms. Heineken. Again, thanks for being here. Appreciate Reps Josephson, my bad. I almost messed it up too. And Hannon for the kind of line of questioning. I'm actually going to kind of go back to the fiscal note. So Mr. Anderson here talked about how the fiscal note that I am reading is the most up-to-date fiscal note, and the one that you read is from last year. But the one I have in front of me from this February, so a month ago, has your name on it. And I'm curious if you have that fiscal note that Mr. Anderson just read with control code GKLQT through the chair.
Ms. Heineken?
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative Stepp, Heather Heineken. I do not see that fiscal note loaded on BASIS. I do have that fiscal note because, yes, I did prepare that. However, I am unable to find it on BASIS, and so I presented the one that I was able to find in the documents.
Representative Stepp?
I guess maybe so is it – I don't see how a fiscal note from February, a month ago wouldn't be on BASIS, I guess, Mr. Co-Chair. So –
Well, maybe the sponsor can answer. Look into that and bring that back to us at the next meeting.
Okay. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Do we have any further questions for the sponsor, for Ms. Heineken, regarding the fiscal note or the bill itself?
I actually have one more.
Okay. Representative Galvin, and then I think Representative Bynum. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. Ms. Heineken, if I may, through the chair, you mentioned that you have two current school finance and one building management specialist. Has the department recently lost someone in that department?
Through the chair, to Representative Galvin, we've actually lost three staff members in that section since last November. We have replaced one. So the two school finance specialist positions have become vacant. We have replaced one of those. So we currently have one school finance position vacant and in recruitment right now. And our building management specialist left I apologize. I have the wrong titles. We have one school finance position was vacant in November. We have replaced that. The building management specialist became vacant in February. That one's in recruitment. And the third position, and the title escapes me, I apologize, is also currently vacant. It's a step above our school finance specialist. That one is vacant. So I currently have two vacancies in that section.
Thank you, Ms. Heineken. Follow up, if I may.
Representative Galvin.
I appreciate that. That does sound like you're really struggling. And I guess my ask is, would it be possible that one of these two who are getting hired eventually would be able to not participate in the CIP process?
Ms. Heineken?
Or are they already set up to do that?
Through the chair, to Representative Galvin. There are only five positions within that section. One is the supervisor who is a licensed engineer. He participates. One is our building management specialist. He participates. And the other one, which is so the building management specialist is vacant. And the third one is the, and I'm going to say he's the plan reviewer. His position is vacant. The other two are the school finance specialist, and they don't have the expertise to review the applications. So the answer to your question is really no, because we don't have a position that could do it otherwise.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it does sound like that department is certainly in need. Going back to some of the conversation that we heard from Representative Josephson, I went through the subcommittee process and we spoke a lot about major maintenance because of our concerns specifically around Mount Edgecombe. And so I just wanted the committee to know that we do know that the Department of Education and Early Development, they were sending admin from here, including the commissioner, to Mount Edgecombe in order to better evaluate what's happening there. And so clearly there is some deep needs, and I want to make sure that while we may not be hearing it straight from the department, we did hear it in the subcommittee. And that's when I say deep needs, I mean in terms of staffing to help maintain and do the not just the accounting pieces, but actually do the work that an engineer or an engineering mind would do with regard to going through the checklist of all of the needs of the buildings there in Sitka. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Bynum, did you have a question?
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just wanted, for the record and the public watching, that if you go on the basis under Senate Bill 146, under the fiscal notes tab, there's a fiscal note number 2, and it is the current fiscal note that we have available to us. So it is available to the public.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any further questions? And we'll go to the sponsor if there are no other questions. Representative Freer, do you have any comments?
Thank you. just wanted to follow up through the chair to Representative Galvin's comments. And, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Mount Edgecombe this earlier, you know, in February with the Senate Finance co-chairs, as well as with Senator Kronk. And the status of the school, I mean, just you've seen photos of what the school looks like. We've heard stories from kids about, and it's certainly not my intent to exclude residential dorms from this, because that's where major work is needed. If you go into the dorm rooms and there are windows that are broken, there are major issues. Aside from tiptoes and, you know, the other infestation issues with pests that was brought to light, but, you know, going into the dorms, the washing machine and the washers and dryers that they're using are the same ones that I washed my clothes with when I attended and I graduated, and I put this on record last year in 2009. So there's been, you know, at least a decade of neglect at Mount Edgecombe High School. And that's not to say that that's not the issue across all of Alaska. You know, we see that in schools all over. Schools with roofs that are falling in. And so, but with that trip, it definitely highlighted issues that are happening at Mount Edgecombe. And it was why I was very hopeful that I could carry this once again in House Finance. So with that, those are the only. Oh, also, again, go Braves for winning the state championship.
We do have a question, Representative Hannon.
I was just going to make a statement, Co-Chair Foster. Mount Edgecombe and Representative Freer knows this is near and dear to my heart because it was my first teaching job in the first year of the state reopening it. Representative Galvin said, you know, a 40-year-old complex. No, it was 40 years ago that the state took over what was a 40-year-old school. And those dorms, some of those dorms are 80 years old. Mm-hmm. And at the time that the state said, we're taking over a former that had been a shuttered BIA school and opening it as a state school, we said we have an obligation to provide some better services than we are in villages. Many of the students that first year had come from high schools where they didn't have chemistry labs, and there's going to be chemistry labs. And although there's been expansion in an academic building, that building is now 30 years old. But some of those dorms go back to the 80-year-old complex that the state took over in 1984 and opened in 1985. And I think it underscores our obligation to schools across Alaska that we have, and I'm going to say benign neglect. I don't think anyone set out consciously to let these schools be neglected, but we have. And especially in a school where we are the housing, the nutrition, the emotional support, we have a higher obligation to make sure it's functional, not just in the math classroom, but in the living environment, because you can't learn if you're not comfortable, if you're cold at night, if you can't wash your clothes, if the food isn't nutritious. And we have an obligation to do that in a boarding school at a higher level, because we have said it's a boarding school. So we are more than just your academic environment. And I will be supporting this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Allard.
That's okay.
Okay. Do we have any further questions of the committee? Okay. Seeing none, we are going to go ahead and set the bill aside for now, and we'll come back with the CS. So thank you very much, Representative Freer. Our next meeting is scheduled for today at 1:30, and at that meeting we'll take up the process of monetary terms for the operating budget. We'll take public testimony on House Bill 210, that's the Peace Officers and Firefighters Disability Bill. And if there's nothing else to come for the committee, we'll be adjourned at 9:43 a.m. Thanks.